Kia ora, ko Katie Scott Churaho, anei te pūrongo tōrangapū mō tēnei wiki. Welcome to Focus on Politics. After more than a year of stringent border controls, New Zealand has pushed further into unprecedented waters. The government this week announced a temporary ban on all travel from India, leaving Kiwis there stranded, unable to come home. It's an extraordinary escalation, and one which comes just as other border measures are beginning to ease. Indeed, on Tuesday came news of a new chapter in New Zealand's COVID-19 recovery.
I can confirm that quarantine-free travel between New Zealand and Australia will commence in just under 2 weeks' time, from 11:59pm Sunday, April 18.
Just over a year since New Zealand slammed its borders shut, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern confirmed the conditions to start quarantine-free travel across the ditch had been met.
The Director General of Health considers the risk of transmission of COVID-19 from Australia to New Zealand to now be low, and that quarantine-free travel would be safe to commence. Cabinet accepts that advice and is confident not only in the state of Australia, but also in our own ability to manage a travel arrangement.
Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison was quick to celebrate, describing the bubble as a win-win. But he again made a point of highlighting how long it took to establish the two-way travel arrangement.
6 months ago, almost, that Australia opened up to New Zealand. And I'm very pleased that the New Zealand government has decided that two-way travel will commence Monday fortnight.
It took 11 months and more than a dozen rounds of talks to get to this point. And the Trans-Tasman bubble arrangement in place now is quite different to what officials originally tried to achieve. At first, the goal was a blanket country-to-country bubble, and officials almost got there in February, but Australia pulled out at the last minute, deciding they wanted to work independently. So now the bubble will operate on a state-by-state basis. This means, in practice, New Zealand will become another state of Australia. So if there's an outbreak in one, New Zealanders and most others will not be affected. But travellers have been warned. International travel will not be like how they remember it.
While we absolutely wish to encourage family and friends to reunite and visitors to come and enjoy the hospitality New Zealand is ready and waiting to offer, those undertaking travel on either side of the ditch will do so under the guidance of flyer beware. People will need to plan for the possibility of having travel disrupted if there is an outbreak.
To manage that risk, a traffic light system, much like the alert level system used to manage COVID-19 cases in New Zealand, has been created.
Once we know about a case in Australia, we will have three possible responses when it comes to flights and access to our border. And we've captured these with a framework based on continue, pause, or suspend. If a case is found that is quite clearly linked to a border worker in a quarantine facility and is well contained, you'd likely see travel continue in the same way as you would see life continue if that happened here in New Zealand. If, however, a case was found that was not clearly linked to the border and a state responded by a short lockdown to identify more information, we'd likely pause flights from that state in the same way we would stop travel into and out of a region in New Zealand if it were going into a short lockdown. And if we saw multiple cases of unknown origin, we would likely suspend flights for a set period of time.
While arrivals from Australia will no longer have to stay at an isolation hotel for 2 weeks, they will still face strict requirements. Travellers must not have tested positive for COVID-19 in the previous 14 days and must not be awaiting the results of a test. There will also be pre-departure health assessments, random temperature checks of airport arrivals, and passengers won't be able to travel if they're sick. Airlines and airports will have to follow strict requirements too, while also juggling a surge of passengers not seen for more than a year. People travelling from Australia must be separated, so there is no cross-contamination between different flights. Air crew must also be separated from others working different routes. Auckland Airport's Chief Executive Adrian Littlewood says they're ready.
So we've been obviously continuing with repatriation flights and people outbound for a year. So we've had extra over protocols around cleaning, sanitisation, you know, PPE as required the whole way through, and that's been further enhanced through these trials and other processes. So I think we're pretty comfortable and confident. For travellers, this will be a new experience going overseas again. For us, we've been running like this for over a year.
Josina Van Eck is one person who can't wait to travel overseas again. Like many others, she's been separated from her family across the ditch since March last year. She plans to be on one of the first flights over from Cairns to give her grandchildren a hug.
I was due to fly home pre-COVID, and then COVID hit, and I hadn't been home a year before that because, you know, you think, oh, I'll just go home next year, and it never happened because COVID hit. So it's been 2 years since I've been home. My grandkids are so big that... They'll be past me. They'll be taller than me.
There's expected to be a big rush of families and friends who utilise the bubble when it first opens. Then the tourists are expected to follow.
Hey New Zealand, it's Oz here. This is hard to admit, but you're pretty good at coming first. I mean, you did conquer the world's biggest mountain, so we reckon you can handle the world's biggest reef. And the sun may hit you guys first, but it really warms up by the time it gets over here. And if that's not enough... You adrenaline junkies showed us the bungee jump. But how about this to get your blood pumping? Or this? Or this? Or this? Or even just this? So New Zealand, isn't it time you added another first to your list?
This ad is part of a multi-million dollar drive from Tourism Australia to get Kiwis across the ditch. Tourism New Zealand is yet to roll out a similar flashy ad campaign, but Jacinta Ardern has made her own pitch to Australians, encouraging them to holiday here.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but we have absolutely missed you and we want you to come and see us again. So, you know, distance makes the heart grow fonder. That's definitely the case for us here, I think.
Hey, good luck with the hundreds of thousands of Australians who've had nowhere to go for the last 2 years coming across the ditch too.
We're looking forward to it. You know, such a big part of who we are welcoming other people from around the world. We've really missed it. So expect that you might be somewhat smothered by love and affection in a way you've not experienced before.
Australians made up 40% of tourists in 2019 and spent more than $2 billion. Once the bubble has opened, their spending is forecast to recover to about 80% of that by early next year. A big relief for the likes of Rob Jewell from Fox Glacier Guiding, which offers tours and adventures on the ice.
That's a game changer for the future. Australians make up pre-COVID 32% of our market, so suddenly have access back to the Australians. We're just hoping that the phone will start ringing, the bookings will start flowing, and we'll start seeing some more customers come through the doors.
Many were hopeful a Trans-Tasman bubble would free up hundreds of rooms in managed isolation, allowing migrant families who've been split up by the border closure to reunite. Henko De Beer's wife and two children are still in South Africa. The border closed 20 hours before they were due to join him last March. He last saw his son, Zion, when he was 4 days old. He left his family and travelled here on a work visa to start his job as a production team leader in Hamilton.
We've missed my son's first birthday. That kind of puts it into perspective how long it's been. My daughter turned 6. I've had an 8th and a 9th wedding anniversary pass. It's taken an emotional strain on my wife and I, definitely. There's definitely damage done. It's countries apart, sometimes it feels like you're on a different planet. That's how far, because you're useless. You can't even hop on a plane and go, you know, home. Besides the birthdays and the milestones, it's that every other day in between. I mean, to say goodnight and don't worry, I'll see you soon for 450 days, it's mind-boggling that it had to come to that point.
But Henko will have to keep counting the days for now. While ministers are yet to make a final call, the government has signalled hundreds of rooms in the managed isolation network will not become available. This is because they don't want more people travelling here from COVID-19 hotspots. The government instead intends to keep 500 rooms free as a trans-Tasman bubble contingency and will look to decommission some smaller facilities. Jacinda Ardern says the government is carefully considering how to reunite families.
What we need to do is make sure that when we do that, it's not giving false hope that we don't have the capacity to manage it, but we accept that a lot of pain has been caused by those border closures. And in some cases, we do have a bit of unfairness in the system, whereas you could have come as a critical worker once the borders closed with your family, but if you were already here, you were cut off. So that's what we're looking to resolve.
National leader Judith Collins told the House during general debate this week it's crucial the government does more.
And there are spaces in the MIQ facilities that could be used to help those people. They are essential to New Zealand. That's how they were able to get here. We should be kind to them and bring their families home to them. It is simply unacceptable that a government that prides itself on telling everyone else to be kind forgets that they could be kind right now to people who we need for our economy, to drive our economy and to restore our country.
While the Trans-Tasman bubble marked a step forward in New Zealand's COVID-19 recovery, health officials also delivered a stark reminder this pandemic is far from over.
As has always been the case over the last year, there is a very active global pandemic of COVID-19 still underway. And sometimes it's easy to forget that here in New Zealand, where we have no transmission of COVID-19 in our community and are enjoying significant freedom of movement. Currently, India has the most steeply rising rate in reported cases. It is the third highest total number of cases since the start of the pandemic.
The major surge in infections India is experiencing is reflected in the cases picked up in managed isolation here, with 80% of all imported cases in the past 2 weeks from the subcontinent. Of the 137 MIQ cases reported in the last month, 87 have come from India. The next highest number of cases was from the United Kingdom, with 7, followed by Pakistan and the United States with 6 each, and Ireland with 4. On Thursday alone, a whopping 17 cases from India were reported in managed isolation. The staggering numbers prompted this unprecedented decision later that day.
We are temporarily suspending entry into New Zealand for travellers from India.
The travel ban will be in place for 14 days starting Sunday and affects anyone arriving in New Zealand from India. Never before have New Zealand citizens and residents been prevented from returning from overseas.
That's why I do want to assure you this is not a permanent arrangement, but rather a temporary measure until we are able to better understand and manage the current situation we are facing.
Human rights lawyer Michael Bott says the government's ban doesn't breach the Bill of Rights Act as long as it's only temporary.
This may be an example of where, in a time of emergency, we must basically have limits to the general rule of acceptance of all people back into New Zealand's borders. And this situation here, with the risk of outbreak is great.
Officials suspect most of the travellers from India who are testing positive on arrival are getting infected on their journey here. Jacinda Ardern wants to know if and how that can be prevented.
It may be that there are simply no other practical ways to reduce the risk, but we want to exhaust every option because it not only keeps those who are travelling safer, but of course reduces the risk in our managed isolation facilities.
But for New Zealanders now trapped in India, the temporary travel ban feels like a punishment. Manish travelled to Delhi in February to care for his sick father, leaving his wife and young daughter in Auckland. He was due to board his flight home on Monday morning and now isn't sure when he'll be able to return.
We don't have any family support back in New Zealand, so my partner was hoping that I'm back and I can support her as well, back to our normal days, normal family life in Auckland.
What does this mean for you travelling back to New Zealand now? Are you going to have to just rebook flights when there's more certainty?
Yeah, so we are not sure, you know, it says 28th of April, but we are not sure what the government is going to do next.
That must be a very challenging situation to be in.
We played by the book. I'm just locking myself in my home from last 1 week. I had all my tests planned and I was not going outside from last 1 week. And I also had one test 1 week before. It came back negative. And we were playing by the rules. We were playing by the book, keeping everyone safe. And now painting everyone with the same brush is just, you know, not helpful.
So do you feel like you've been doing the right thing and it being punished for something that's out of your control?
Totally, totally. You play by the book, you play by the rules, you do everything right, and then suddenly something is thrown at you and you are just left to fend for yourself.
The government has always been keen to point out the virus doesn't discriminate, but some members of the Indian community in New Zealand believe ministers appear to be doing just that. And in response, the government has reiterated that it is also keeping an eye on other countries with high COVID-19 case rates, like the United States and Brazil. That's Focus on Politics. I'm Katie Scotcher. Thanks for joining us. Mā te wā.